You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. Worldly passions cause us to hate God and hurt one another. We must guard against them. Discover more about this truth in week 5 of our series, Gospel Demonstrated.
Good evening, 7 p.m. service guests. Greet the person seated next to you with a high five or a handshake. As many of you know, we're going through this series called Gospel Demonstrated. If you're new here, you're here for the first time, you're wondering what this series is all about. It's all about basically knowing how to live out the gospel. As Christians, we know we have been called to preach the gospel. We just had a series about that a couple of months ago that talks about our responsibility. As Christians, we have been called to preach the gospel wherever God has called us to be, whether that be in our campuses, our workplace, our families, or our communities, even to the other nations. And perhaps for some of you here today, maybe God will call you one day to go to the other nations and preach the gospel there. Or wherever that may be, wherever God calls you to go. We are called to preach the gospel. But not just that. We're not just called to preach the gospel. We are also called to live out the gospel. For us to be all the more effective in preaching the gospel, the people that we are preaching it to has to see it in our lives as well. And that's what this series is all about. Knowing how to live out or demonstrate the gospel in our lives. The past couple of weeks, we talked about several topics to help us do so. On the first week, we talked about how to respond in times of trials and challenges. Now, as believers, late na dapat na mo respond. Before, when we didn't have the gospel, we responded in a different way. But now that we have the gospel, we respond differently. And from the book of James, we came to understand as Christians, we are to count it as joy when trials, challenges happens our way because it produces perseverance. On the second week naman, we talked about the true religion or true devotion or true worship to God, that it has to be backed up by our deeds. True devotion to God's word has to be backed up by our good deeds. And the third week, we talked about no partiality. That is, when we relate or talk to people or the way we treat people in general, it doesn't matter what economic status they come from, what their background is, what their social status is, but whoever they are, we are to treat them with the same respect and honor. We can't just treat them differently because it's like income or it's like economic background. And in the fourth week, we talked about true faith or faith in action. That is, if we claim to have faith in God, it has to produce good works. Good works are but a natural fruit or outflow of our faith towards God. Now, there's no such thing as a non-practicing Christian or a Christian that does not produce good works. We produce good works not to earn our salvation, but we do good works as a response of knowing that we have been saved through Jesus Christ. And we talked about it in the past couple of weeks. Now this week, as we continue going through the book of James, this is also a book study on the book of James, we're going to talk about tonight the dangers of worldliness. We're going to learn what this means, why it's such a big deal, and why we should be watchful of this, that this wouldn't spread throughout our lives, and how we can avoid doing so. And we're going to learn three simple things for today, and we're going to look at three different passages for each of those points. And these are the three things that we're going to look into tonight. We're going to learn that worldliness causes fights among ourselves, that it causes us to think that we are self-sufficient, and it also causes us to mistreat other people. So we're going to learn point by point what those points means. So our first passage, let me just read James chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. It says here, verse 1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly. You spend it on your passions. Verse 4, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The first things first, let's define what really is worldliness and why is it such a big deal for us. Worldliness is simply loving the world. In a nutshell, when we talk about worldliness, it means loving or pursuing the things of the world. And when we say loving the world, I don't mean na dinakamu appreciate what you see the world. It doesn't mean na dinakamu love nature, so mga nature lovers dere, dinakamag appreciate og animals, or dinakamu appreciate sa tupad nimo, sa friends nimo, dinakamu love anything else. Bahala na ka, i-unfriend na ikaw. No, dili na na. We're not talking that. I'm not saying na you disregard anything. Kasi God naman created the world. And when He created it, He says that it is good. there is good in the world. Basically, when you look at what God has created. But when we say loving the world, we mean pursuing the pleasures of the world more than pursuing God. It means you're loving something far more than you love God. Now, if there was a throne in your heart, if you were to assess yourself, na if throne sa heart ninyo, what would be sitting on it? Unsay ga rule over sa heart nimo? What is the most important thing in your life? Because whatever that is on the throne of your heart. That is what you love the most. That is what's most important to you. And when we say worldliness is simply having something else take the place of God in your heart. That you love the world, that you love something in the world far more than you love God. That there's something in that throne occupying the seat of God in our hearts. That's what we mean by worldliness. Loving something in the world or something enjoyable in the world far more than you love God. I don't mean to say na after this preaching, hindi mo do sa yung favorite activities ninyo. Whatever it is. I'm not saying after this preaching, you can't do anything enjoyable. I'm not saying after this, boring na dapat ang life ninyo. No, that's not my point. We're going to learn more what the danger truly is. But when you say worldliness, it simply means valuing something more than God. This preaching is to help us assess our hearts. Are we valuing God still in the best way that we can, or are we valuing something else more than God? That's the whole tension and point of this preaching. Now, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16, the Bible actually also says, do not love the world. If you're wondering, asagikan nga, we shouldn't be worldly. The Bible actually explicitly tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. So we are not to love the world. We are not to be worldly. As believers, the primary thing that we ought to love is not the world. Remember, Jesus said that the most important commandment is to love God above all else, with all our hearts, our minds, with all that we can. It is to love God. Now, going back to the verses we just read a while ago, interestingly, James addresses the church in a particular way that will help us stress the gravity of worldliness. Because see, James, when he addresses his letter to his audience, which is primarily church people, believers, the church in Jerusalem, he usually refers to them by calling them my beloved brothers or my fellow believers or something like that. But in verse 4 of James chapter 4, he tells them, you adulterous people. Have you had a friend tell you that? Hey, ikaw adulterous people ka. Medyo strong si James at this point. Very fiery, very intense. There's this indignation in James that is calling out these people, these fellow believers, telling them, you adulterous people. And the reason why he's saying that is because in the previous verses, we get to see that there were quarrels and fights in the church. There was something happening in the church. There were quarrels, there were fights, there was a conflict happening. Verse 1 actually tells us that. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? If I had a picture of what is happening, it's kind of like this. Away sila, nagrambulan sila. Now, as a pastor, James understood that the quarrels and fights were manifestations of a deeper struggle. There was a reason to it. It wasn't just a simple fight or away, nagrambulan. But there was a cause and a root to the conflict. And if you're wondering what was that cause and the root of that conflict, going back to those three verses, there's this one word I want to highlight that will help us understand the gravity of worldliness. In verse 1 to 3 of James chapter 4, there's this word here in circle. It says, their passions. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Now, why is this such a big deal? In circle now on passions. Passion comes from the Greek word hedone or hedon, which means pleasure. And this is where we get our word hedonism, which means also the pursuit of pleasure or sensual self-indulgence. When you talk about hedonism, it means pursuing pleasure. Your main goal of your life is an ideology that your main goal or a main thing about your life name is the pursuit of pleasure, enjoying yourself. The main thing that you want to happen in your life is to make sure happy ka, enjoy sige ang life nimo. That's what hedonism is. So when you go back to those verses, it gives us a picture. And the reason why they were arguing, fighting, is it not this that your passions, your pursuit of pleasure are at war within you? You desire, you do not have, so you murder. Imagine that, they do not have, so they desire, that ganas lang mag-murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Ang main reason why nag-aaway sila is because of desires for pleasure. There's something that they want so that they will have pleasure, so they can enjoy it. And it's causing them to argue amongst themselves. Now, the danger here isn't pleasure itself, because God is the source of pleasure. The true source of pleasure is God Himself. I'm not saying after this preaching, dapat boring na life na to, sige, masigitag higda na lang, watay buhato na. God is the source of pleasure. The danger here is that when we seek something else as the source of pleasure, when we live our lives with the whole intention of goal of seeking pleasure as the main thing that we want to happen in our life, if everything that we do revolves around pleasure and enjoyment, if it all boils down to that, or our own self-indulgence, if everything that we think and do and we want is just for our own self, our own enjoyment, that's the danger right there. That's materialism and worldliness happening. When worldliness happens in our lives, the pursuit of pleasure is usually a pursuit away from God. There's the danger right here. Because when we seek something else as a source of pleasure apart from God, it becomes a pursuit away from God. It draws you away from God. Now, why away from God? In verse 4 of James chapter 4, we get this clue. Why so? James calls the people, you adulterous people. Now, isn't it interesting that James labels the people adulterous? I mean, not all of them are having extramarital affairs, literally speaking. But James calls them that. But didn't he just say, you wicked people, you worldly people, you evil people, or some another kind of adjective? Why of all words he chose the word adulterous? You see, adultery is characterized by unfaithfulness and lack of devotion. Let's say in a married couple, if the husband or the wife chooses to find love in another person, may na siyang lahain, mo devote siya, mo love siya anang a person, mo naganahan niya, then that person is guilty of adultery. Nangabit siya, basically. The same thing with our relationship with God. Since as believers, we are called to love God above all else, siya dapat ang nasa center's heart na to. If something else takes His place that's more important to us, then we are guilty of being an adulterous people in a spiritual sense, because something else is more important to us than God. That we are giving our time, our devotion, our resource, our worship, parang natay lang ginaworship to. James calls the people, you adulterous people. Because instead of devoting yourselves to God, you are devoting it to something else. To worldly passions. To all those things that you're pursuing to give you pleasure. When pleasure is all we think about, the first thing that happens is that we disregard our relationship with God. Kaya nga, it makes us drift away from God. It's a pursuit away from God. But not just that, because ma disregard ang relationship nato with God, it causes another consequence. And in the process, disregard our relationship with others as well. The reason why we get in conflict with other people, mag-away ang mga people in the church, is because it starts with that relationship with God that becomes disregarded. In other words, if you sum it all up, worldliness causes fights or conflicts amongst ourselves. Nag-away-away. You guys have seen toddlers argue over toys. I bet at one point, kita tanan, inanat na. Even if you give them each a toy, equal, toy truck ni mo dere, toy truck dere. If one toddler, one kid, one baby would want the other baby's toy, kahanja kwaho niya, then mag-away na sila. Now, since the baby cannot think yet, at that time, equal naman ang toy truck na mo, ma-hurt the way siya, of akong kwaho niya. No. When the baby wants to get the other toy truck of the other baby, all he's thinking is, I want the toy truck, I want to enjoy the toy truck, I want it to be mine, ganahan ko hana. And kwaho niya. And that causes fights and arguments. The same thing can happen to us. Years later, nidako na tayo, what? When we let worldliness happen in our lives, it causes fights amongst ourselves. Why? Because the first thing in our mind is our own personal enjoyment. We don't care what else other people think. Whether we've hurt someone or not, ang atong primary thing that we want is atong enjoyment, atong pleasure. And it causes fights with other people. And because of that, it can cause pa more consequences in us. It's kind of like a domino effect. When worldliness happens in our lives, when we pursue worldly passions, it creates a domino effect. Your relationship with God becomes disregarded, then your relationship with other people, then a bunch of other things can happen, pa, which we're going to unpack. The second passage that I'm going to read for us is in John chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. It says here, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what is your life, for you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." You see this passage, with James is giving basically to us another case study. See, James kasi mahilig siya case study. We had several passages gikan ni James the past couple of weeks. Now, in this example, James is calling out the people who say na, you know what, magplano ta, we'll do this, we'll make a profit, for sure, kaya na to. Now, I'm not saying na you don't plan or you don't believe for big things to happen or you don't believe nga mag-breakthrough mo financially or something. That's not the point of that verse. What's happening here is that James is trying to call out those people who are acting in self-sufficiency or are being self-reliant. You see, when worldliness happens, when God is not first in our lives, we lose our trust in Him for the future. James is calling out people who are like that. Ginatalk niyang people, if you are acting in self-reliance, you're relying on your own abilities, skills, resources, or past experiences, or your own plans. James is like, you shouldn't be that because you can't predict the future. And so with that, since we can't predict the future, we can rely on our own skills, abilities, on our own selves. Because who are we to say what's going to happen in the future? James says in verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. It talks about reliance in God. The importance of relying on God, trusting in God, when we're believing for something, when we're hoping for something, when we need something, we ought to rely on God. The most basic thing we can do is to pray. How many times have we needed to do something or believe something, but the last thing we've done is to pray? At the first thing we did is, itry na to, pangitag paagi, tanang paagi, mabuhat na to, diskartihan na to. And when all else fails, that's the time we pray. But this verse reminds us that because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, we can't predict everything. We can't control everything. We can say, if we do this, we do that, muna yung direct result niya. We're not God. And therefore, we ought to rely on God's sovereignty, on what He can do in our lives. This verse teaches us not to be self-sufficient, but to rely on the grace and the power of God in our lives. Because worldliness causes us to think that we are self-sufficient. Because if ang pursuit nimo, kyang passions of the world na, lain ang pursuit nimo, lain ang goals sa life nimo, then you will forget to rely on God as well. You'll rely on your own abilities. And that's the second danger right there, church. When you find yourself relying on what you can do on your own rather than relying on God. Worldliness causes us to think we are self-sufficient. The last passage that we're going to read is in James chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. And it says there, "Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in the self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you." What we see here in this three verses, in this passage, talks about the result of what we end up doing to other people when worldliness takes over our lives. You see, when our main goal is just for our benefit, when we're pursuing worldly passions, this causes us to mistreat other people. Worldliness causes us to mistreat or to harm other people, to mistreat others. In that passage we just read a while ago, we talked about people na ginahurt, ginaharm. In other words, if you're here today, maybe you're a boss or you have people working for you, May this cause us to evaluate, are we treating the people that were working for us in fairness, giving them their dues, what is rightfully theirs, paying them rightly? You see, worldly passions cause us to hate God and hurt one another. We must guard against them. It causes us to hate God, to hurt other people, and we must guard against them. We must guard against worldly passions. A couple of things before and about then. The question now is, how do we guard ourselves? How do we assess ourselves? Wait, am I becoming worldly? Am I pursuing worldly passions? Or am I still pursuing God? Am I still loving God above all else? There's this quote I want to share. I want to end with this to help us understand, or to help us assess ourselves. The Westminster Catechism says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. How do we know if we're becoming worldly or not? Simple. Are we glorifying God and enjoying Him to the best that we can? Or are we glorifying and enjoying something else far more than God? Assess yourselves, church. What do you spend time on the most? What do you put value on the most? What do you spend on the most? What do you think about the most? What do you keep on talking about the most? That's what's in the throne of your heart. And it says here that the chief purpose of man is to glorify and enjoy God forever. Worldliness is a temptation that tells us that there's something else out there in the world that's far more enjoyable and far more satisfying than what we can find in God. In fact, that's what happened kang Adam and Eve. When God created Adam and Eve, remember, they fell. They had everything before them. God created the world for them. They had access to God, been the presence of God. And yet, because of one simple fruit, tempts the devil, there's something else that you're missing out. They chose that over what they had. And they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. Imagine that. They had everything that they could need. They had access to God. They could be in God's presence, enjoy all of that. But they were tempted to think that there was something that they missed. Something na kulang pa. Muni kailangan nimo. That's what worldliness tries to tell us, church. That there's something out there far more enjoyable, far more satisfying than what God can offer. But here's the thing. It's a trap. The sad thing about worldliness is that the more we pursue worldly passions, the more we will crave and hunger for it. You see, there's a hole in the hearts of people that only God can fill. Only God can fill the bottomless hole in humans' hearts. And that is because only God was able to demonstrate an unlimited, incredible account, a kind of love by coming to this world and dying on the cross for our sins. And that's what He did through Christ for us. That is why in Christ, we can glorify God and enjoy God forever. We can find the most enjoyment and satisfaction in God and not be worried that we're missing something out there in the world. Because all that we need, true satisfaction, the true source of pleasure, is found in God Himself.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.